We've been out of the book of Jonah, but we're back in, we're going back fishing again with Jonah and continuing with my sermon series, God Never Gives Up, from the book of Jonah. And in this book, what we worship is that is revealed to us that there's really more about God and less about us. But Jonah is the player in this story. In fact, Jonah is the author. The text today is Jonah 1:17. And Jonah 2, verses 1 through 10. And so we look about Jonah's prayer to God today. You know, God wants to be first in our life rather than second only when we need him. And we look at this part here in Jonah about prayer. And our response to God determines the side of him that we experience. So today, I ask you, what side of God do you seek to experience? You know, it was trouble that led Jonah to pray, but it was prayer that led Jonah to renew his relationship with the Lord. And so we need to continue to seek God's grace in prayer. And it's God's grace that encourages us to pray. And so we'll see today that God provides encouragement to us in our time of need. And in response, we worship him. So if you have a Bible, I encourage you to open to the Old Testament, the book of Jonah, and Jonah chapter 1, verses 17, and Jonah 2, verses 1 through 10. I'm going to read the text, and then we're going to see what God says about this. Jonah 1:17. This is a familiar part, and probably this one verse is what most people really only know about Jonah. And so we're going to see what God has to say about this passage. Jonah 1:17. And Jonah 2, 1 through 10. And the Lord appointed a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the belly of the fish, saying, I called out to the Lord out of my distress, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me. All your waves and your billows passed over me. Then I said, I am driven away from your sight, yet I shall again look upon your holy temple. The waters closed in over me to take my life. The deep surrounded me. Weeds were wrapped about my head at the roots of the mountains. I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet you brought up my life from the pit. O Lord, my God, when my life was fainting away, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you into your holy temple. Those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. But I, with the voice of thanksgiving, will sacrifice to you. What I have vowed, I will pay. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah out upon the dry land. Much has happened with Jonah, and in God's great pursuit, he has chased after Jonah, God's wayward prophet, God's chosen prophet. And God used Jonah. He wanted him to go preach to the great city of Nineveh and preach to the Ninevites there about salvation. And so God continued to pursue Jonah. He went after him with a storm. He went after him with sailors and with the captain. And at each point, Jonah kept disregarding God's pursuit of him, only to the point where the sailors had done what Jonah had told them to do, throw him into the sea. And so now Jonah catches himself in the sea. There he is. He can't call the Coast Guard. He can't dial Mayday on the maritime radio and call for help. There's no other ships out there to rescue him. And the whole time, God had ordained this for Jonah. God was sovereign in his life of Jonah, and he had pointed a great fish. God had ordained a great fish. And so actually, he rescued Jonah. We don't think about the rescue that God had provided for Jonah with the fish. We just think of, you know, Jonah, you didn't do what God had told you to do, so he sent a fish after you. But actually, it was the fish that saved Jonah from drowning. And so the fish swallowed Jonah. And so at this point now, we find that Jonah finds himself in a very unlikely situation. And all this time, God had been trying to get Jonah's attention. And now he's got his attention. Jonah recognizes he's at this point now, supernaturally, if God could call out supernatural to a giant fish or a whale to swallow a man, certainly he could supernaturally let a man live in the belly of a fish for 3 days and three nights. I think these are some of the things and the point in the text that we just don't understand. It just doesn't seem to make sense. But in this particular passage, this is a historical passage also, this genre of in the book of Jonah. And now Jonah has gotten the attention God has been seeking after him. He's pursuing him. And so what happens to Jonah is what happens to all of us when God gets our attention. Jonah cried, and Jonah called out. But what we learn from this particular passage is something so very important to each of us in our own prayer lives. When we cry out, when we call out upon the Lord, when we experience those things in our life, and sometimes God's got a good way of getting our attention, doesn't he? Sometimes he uses it in unlikely situations, unlikely people. Maybe it's a relationship. Maybe it's the loss of a job. Maybe it's not being swallowed by a great fish. But he's got a very good way of getting each of our attentions. And when that happens, we cry out. But what is good to know about the love of God is that God hears our prayers. Jonah cried out, and Jonah called. God answered, and God heard the prayer. You know, when we communicate with other people, oftentimes that communication that we have with other people is difficult sometimes. People just aren't always listening to us. I know sometimes wives might feel that husbands aren't always listening to them, or wives feel that, or the husbands feel that the wives aren't listening to them. You know, communication in this age is sometimes difficult. In fact, in a New York Times article titled "The Science and Art of Listening," Seth Horowitz, a neuroscientist at Brown University, says that listening is a skill that we're in danger of losing in a world of digital distraction and information overload. We are bombarded with so much information these days that we find our attention and our listening fractured and lacking. But he continues, he also says that listening is enhanced when you hear your name called. When you hear your name called. You know, if you want to get someone's attention, hey, Bob, hey, John, hey, Barbara, hey, Rosalie, hey. When you call someone by their name, suddenly you've got their attention. It's personal. And what did Jonah do? He made it personal. He called out to the Lord. And the Lord answered, and the Lord heard. In the book of Job, Job was a man who experienced great trial. And through it all, he never lost his faith in God. He lost everything. He lost his family. He lost his possessions. He lost his wealth. He lost power. He lost influence. He lost his health. He was reduced everything. But in Job 12:4, Job said, "I called to God and he answered me." Job was reduced to everything in his life, down to the point where God has at his attention. And he said, God answered him. Psalm 18:6, the psalmist writes, "In my distress, I called upon the Lord. To my God, I cried for help. From his temple, he heard my voice, and my cry to him reaches his ears." The first thing we need to understand that when we cry out to God is God hears our prayers. Doesn't that encourage you to know that? God's word confirms that. And in times in our lives when we're feeling dejected, or we're feeling discouraged, or we're feeling downtrodden, and all this point, whatever's going on in our life, and we just feel that our prayers are just hitting the ceiling, and that's it. That's as far as they're going. But God confirms that He hears our prayers, and He hears us at times when we call out to Him by name in distress. Jonah called out to God in distress. And he's in a place in his life where he is at the absolute separation from God. He is in the deepest of deep there can be. He's in the bottom of the ocean, inside the deepest part of the belly of a great fish. Darkness has surrounded him. He is feeling cut off from God more than ever. He doesn't have any friends around him. He doesn't have to hear any messages or anything else. He's completely isolated for 3 days and three nights. You know, sometimes when, no matter how dark life may seem to be, we need to understand not to give up on prayer to God, because He listens and He answers. Look at the text with you. Look at the text with me, if you would. Verse 3. Jonah said, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas." Yes, that's right. God did it. It was God's plan to cast Jonah into the seas. God hurled the storm. He sent the sailors. He sent the captain. He sent the fish. And it was God's plan. In verse 3, He says, "For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the flood surrounded me." In verse 4, then He said, "I am driven away from your sight." He's absolutely cut off, or so he thinks. And in these times in our own lives where we experience loneliness, or we feel that our prayers are just hitting the ceilings, that's it. And that we're God, we just want to cry out, "God, where are you?" But He said also in this passage, He says, "Yet I shall look again upon your holy temple." I shall look upon you in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. You know, the situation here with Job is a situation that, you know, we all experience in our lives at any point in our time. We need to understand that God hears our prayers. He heard the prayers of Jonah. And it was divine providence that cast Jonah into the sea. But Jonah's hope was dashed when he said, "The deep surrounded me." The deep surrounded me. He's at a point now almost where he had given up. The Hebrew word, "the surrounded me," literally means up to your neck. The peril, the danger, it gotten to a point to Jonah where it was right here. It was right here, face to face. Danger and peril was up to him, face to face. He was surrounded to the point where he just felt like he couldn't take it anymore. He had gotten to that place where he was in the belly of Sheol, the deepest part, the point in his life where he's experienced. He's like, death is knocking at his door. Death is imminent. Death is face to face with him. And he said in verse 6, he said, "I went down to the land whose bars closed upon me forever. Yet," once again, he says, "yet you brought up my life from the pit." Jonah had affirmed God's, not only God's sovereignty, but God's grace. We're encouraged, each of us, when we pray and knowing that not only that God hears our prayers, but we're encouraged by the gift of prayer and His deliverance to each and every one of us. This was no different for Jonah. This is no different for us. You know, we don't often think about being afflicted as a good thing. Nobody likes to be afflicted. Nobody likes trial, unless maybe sometimes if you're an athlete. You know, athletes understand what affliction is. Athletes understand what it's like to experience, to lose. That actually, that losing sometimes is a good thing. But even in affliction, in our own lives, we don't like it. Job also said in Job 36:15, he said, "He delivers the afflicted by their affliction and opens their ear by adversity. God has a way of getting our attention, and God's got a way of using adversity in our lives. And it might not be a great fish. It might be something going on in your home life, an adversity. It might be a situation where you're experiencing a problem in your life. You know, there is a great ministry by one of our churches in the area. Trinity Baptist has a mission, a ministry, I should say, and a mission, downtown Jacksonville, Trinity Rescue Mission. And I've been down there a lot of times, and I've been involved in a lot of men's lives at a point in their life where they experience what they might, some might call adversity. They probably wouldn't call it adversity. They've gotten to the point in their own life at the lowest of lows, whether it was drugs or alcohol or whatever it is, just to come up a point in their life where they just have to face complete and utter surrender. But many of these men, I tell you, are rejoicing today because of the adversity that's been in their life. They wouldn't have never have wished upon it or hoped upon it. But in the adversity of their life, they've come through it to a point of surrender and a point where these men are and women are rejoicing in their own lives of surrender to a point where they just had to say, God, help me. Surrender their lives to Jesus Christ. That's where often all of us need to come to. We don't have to get to the point where we hit the lowest of lows or we just hit the basement in life. For some people, they do. For others, they don't. And so at this point, Jonah experiences adversity. We need to understand that we experience adversity in our life, but we are encouraged by God by the gift of prayer. And it is this gift of prayer that he gave to Jonah, and he gives to all of us. And Jonah said again in verse 7, when my life was fading away, I remembered the Lord. I remembered the Lord. It was at this point where he had to get to this point in adversity and complete, utter surrender, where he thought it was just the end. And so at this point now, adversity for him is death. And he said, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer came to you. What if prayer in our lives, you know, Jonah, in this point in his life, he's praying out. He's praying out of trouble. And I think it's very easy for all of us when trouble comes upon us, the first thing we want to do is we want to pray out of trouble. And I want to encourage everyone, obviously, when distress and problems come in our lives, the first thing we need to do is seek the Lord. But what God is saying, I want you to pray in. I want you to pray and seek me first in a relationship with me first. Don't wait for these problems to come upon you. And so what if God's great plan for us in prayer is not just what we think we need, but just to need him. Just to need him. What if God's great purpose for prayer for all of us is just simply just to need him. We need him. He knows that. May I ask you today, do you know that? And so in this point here, each of us need to understand that prayer does not equip us for greater works. Prayer is the greater work for all of us. Prayer is the greater work because God never gives up. Keep looking to God no matter how far away and to seek him early in your life through prayer. You know, many of the youth are going to be going in a few weeks to their youth camp in Daytona, right? You guys excited about that? Yeah. You're going to hear testimonies. And you're going to hear about how God is moving in the lives of other people and other youth. But you know, other people want to hear how God's moving in your life too. And so maybe the youth has testimonies to give as well. He gives us that. We need to be able to share those stories. Sometimes often enough that we don't understand the power of prayer. There's a story about a church in a small town on Main Street. And this little church experienced a new business that opened up down the street. And as a matter of fact, it was a nightclub. And so this church decided that they were going to have an all-night prayer meeting. And their prayer was that the nightclub would burn down. Kind of an unlikely, kind of an uncanny type of prayer. Would you believe that the nightclub did burn down? And the nightclub owner heard about this. And so he decided to take the church to court. And so they went to court. The church denied complete responsibility. And the judge had to rule. And the judge was perplexed. And all the judge could say was, well, wherever the guilt may lie, it's obvious that the nightclub owner believes in prayer more than the church does. We need to understand in our own lives that God hears our prayers. And God encourages us to pray early, often, continuous, even in our adversity as well. Jonah declared that at this point now in his own life here and this experience that he's going through, he offers up prayers of thanksgiving. What's happened with Jonah? His life has changed dramatically now to the point now in this passage that Jonah is now offering up a prayer of thanksgiving. And he is thanking God. But again, also in verse 8, he said, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. You know, when believers are willing to cling to something else rather than God first, we forfeit the hope we have of God's steadfast love, don't we? We forfeit the best that God has for us. You know, it might be persecution in the church universal throughout this world, you know, and Christians are being persecuted, and not just in the Middle East. You know, they're persecuted in China, they're persecuted in South America, they're persecuted in prison. I talk to a lot of men from prison in prison ministry, and they are persecuted. And even in the adversity, they understand that it's not a situation that can save them, but it's only that God can save them, because they don't want to forsake the steadfast love of the Lord. God's encouragement comes from his hope for all of us in his steadfast love and his salvation. Psalm 33:18, behold, the eye of the Lord is on those who fear him, on those who hope in his steadfast love. Psalm 33:22, just four verses later. Let your steadfast love, O Lord, be upon us, even as we hope in you. As we hope in you. You know, we need to list out ourselves a gratitude list. There was a woman who came to the motivational speaker one day, Zig Ziglar. Zig Ziglar was one of my mentors, great speaker, love this man, great Christian man, great witness. And he was at a motivational speech one time, and he was told that there was a woman that wanted to come to him, and she needed help. And so she came to him, and he said, well, I've got about, you know, a couple minutes. And so he came to this woman, and he said, well, what's your problem? She says, oh, my life is terrible, it's just... And she just listed a laundry list. You know, people don't love me, and at work is terrible. They don't pay. You know, they don't like my worth. They don't like who I am. It's just life is terrible. And he says, okay, get out a pen and pencil and a piece of paper. And she just stood there and she looked at him. He said, no, get a piece of paper and a piece of pencil. And she just kept looking at him. And he said, ma'am, all I know is if you're not willing to do step one, I can't give you step two and three. And he says, I'm trying to help you. And she says, I know, but you haven't been very good to this point. He said, get a pencil and a piece of paper, and I want you to write out a Thanksgiving list. I want you to thank God for everything you had. And he met with her a few days later. And he asked her, he said, well, I want to ask you a question. What's your life like? He said, do they pay people at work pay you more than better than averages? Yes, they do. He said, are you in a place of authority? She says, well, I'm a supervisor. And she went on and on and on and on. And she started making a gratitude list. And he said, your gratitude list is your gratitude to God. Jonah makes a gratitude list, and he begins with thanksgiving. And in this point now, his life has changed, and his life has turned around. And he says the key text in this passage in verse 9, salvation belongs to the Lord. God knows it. He wanted Jonah to know it. He wants each of us to know it. And in our lives and in our situations, when we feel that we're discouraged, we need to understand that his salvation is from God. Salvation in the Old Testament, meaning the deliverance. What's the deliverance that you need today? What's going on in your own lives, in the workplace, and at home, and in relationships? Maybe it's a health situation, family or children or grandchildren. Salvation belongs to the Lord. And so this point here, Jonah comes to this great point in his own life where he recognizes the great importance of prayer. His attitude changes. His life changes. God has got his attention. And at this point, we need to understand that praying to God means forsaking the other gods and the objects of devotion. What are the objects of devotion in your life today? What are you clinging to rather than God in prayer? Because God's already confirmed to us that he listens and he hears. He already confirms to us that he answers prayers. God in this situation, the text does not say how God spoke to Jonah, but God acted. Sometimes we pray to God and we want to hear something, and sometimes he acts it, but it doesn't happen until he has our attention, right? Sometimes God's got a good way of getting our attention. He had a good way of getting Job's attention as well. Search for objects of devotion in your own life that perhaps have been false gods, and get rid of them. Get rid of those false hopes, those false objects. Cast those out and seek God, because salvation belongs to the Lord. I want to tell you just a brief story about a man named Dimitri. In Nick Ripkin's book, The Insanity of God, he tells a story about persecuted Christians. And he does research and he travels all around the world. And back in the 80s, he was traveling in Russia, at the time when communists were still ruling and communists were persecuting the church. And so he'd made some contacts with some people and wanted to interview some people about how they are being persecuted and their faith. And he was introduced to a man named Dimitri. Dimitri was a very common man. Dimitri was a man, he was a working class man, and he just started a Bible study. And so the Bible study grew, and more people wanted to hear about the Word of God, and pretty soon their house kept getting crowded. But what was happening was the communists were coming in, were telling him, you can't do this anymore. You have to stop. And he wouldn't stop. And so Dimitri was arrested and thrown in prison. And he was thrown in prison 1,000 kilometers away from his home. And each morning, Dimitri, in a cell, when he got up out of his bed, he could take one step and head to the door. And that was as big as his cell was. It was a dark, damp, cold cell. But he continued to pray each day. And he continued to face his window and face the east and sing out his heart song to God in prayer for 17 years. He sang his heart song. And Dimitri was in a prison, and he was the only believer with with 1,500 men. And when he rose early in the morning to sing out his heart song to God, he heard the jeers. Men would throw garbage at him and human waste to shut him up. But for 17 years, he rose early in the morning, faced east at his window, and prayed to God his heart song. And so Dimitri, for those 17 years, continued to seek God. But you know, after 17 years, even it was tough for him. And he was beaten continually. He would get a piece of paper, any piece of paper he could find or something to write with. And he would write a Bible story on a scrap sheet of paper or a Bible verse. And he would put it up on this piece of pillar in his cell and stick it on the top as an offering, as a praise to God. And the guards would come in and they would beat him for this. And he endured this for 17 years. And the guards wanted him to renounce his faith in Jesus Christ. And he would not. But it's 17 years later, Dimitri got to the point where he felt that he couldn't take it anymore. And he told the guards, he said, "Tomorrow, bring in the paper and I'll sign it." And so Dimitri he was at his end. He felt that his prayers weren't being answered and he wasn't being encouraged. But he offered up one more prayer and he prayed to God on his bunk and his bed. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, spoke to him. Because the guards had told him that his family was dead. His children were scattered and he would never see him again. He had no reason to live. And so Dimitri prayed one more time to God. And the Holy Spirit spoke to him and said, "Dimitri, your family is well. Your wife is not dead. Your children are well." Because what was happening at that time is Dimitri's brother and his family also, by the power of the Holy Spirit, were praying for him. And so the next morning, when the guards came in with a piece of paper for him to sign to denounce his faith in Jesus Christ, Dimitri stood tall with his shoulders back and he said, "I will not sign it. Because the power of God by his Holy Spirit has spoken to me and told me that my family is well. And I do not renounce my faith in Jesus Christ." And so the guards dragged him out of his cell and down the corridor where these 1,500 men could see him and to beat him again. But what had happened is at that instance, 1,500 men in that prison started to sing a heart song to God. They sang. He said it was the most joyous chorus he had ever heard of praise to God. One man, one witness, one prayer at a point in his life. He didn't give up. Because God heard his cries and he was encouraged to prayer. He understood the steadfast love of the Lord. 1,500 men sang out their heart song to God. In a gulag prison out in the middle of nowhere, where he was the only witness for Jesus Christ. At a point in his life, it was Lois, and it was one prayer that he offered up. God never gave up on Jonah. God pursued Jonah all the time. And God pursues us because God never gives up. God never gives up. God never gives up. God never gives up. He never gives up on us. He hears our prayers. He encourages us to pray because of his great love, because of his steadfast love for all of us. Even at the point where we don't feel like it. And you might not be in the belly of a fish. You might not be in a prison a million miles away from your home and family for 17 years, but God never gives up. He hears your prayer. He hears your calls of distress. He encourages us and he delights because salvation belongs to the Lord. you know, the story of Dimitri, when the guards had heard the 1,500 men singing their heart songs, the guards asked Dimitri, "Who are you?" And Dimitri said, "I am a son of the living God, Jesus Christ." He used his witness, his circumstances. He was released from prison. He was rejoined with his family where he could share this story with Nick Ripken and tell him about it. What is God doing in your life today? What is going on that you need to get quiet and listen to him? What are the distractions in your life? What are the vain idols, the things that keep you from coming to God, and circumstances that just seem spun out of control, where you need to seek him first rather than just seeking to get out of control? What if the great object of prayer is not just what we need, but just to need him?